Thanks for checking out this podcast. Remember, it's presented by Minnesota's very own Ticket King. If you're looking for tickets for an upcoming game or event at TCF Bank Stadium, Target Center, or XL Center, visit TicketKingOnline.com or the link from the 1500ESPN.com sports calendar page. Ticket King has all your tickets for Minnesota baseball, plus all the concerts, all the theaters, and at all venues. And Ticket King can take care of you for out-of-town concerts, sporting events, and more. Call 612-341-4141 or visit TicketKingOnline.com.
This is our legal expert, Jeff O'Brien. He's a well-recognized attorney from Lohmann Abdo in such areas as business law, commercial contract disputes, intellectual property, and more. He also knows his sports and can lend his expertise when there are legal issues at play. This is Dave Harrigan, a well-recognized producer and update host from the Mackey and Judd Show. He's not really an expert in anything, but here he is to introduce the topics to Jeff and then nod in agreement every time Mr. O'Brien makes a great point. Welcome to Case in Point with Jeff O'Brien. Here's Dave Harrigan.
Well, with that intro, I guess, welcome to Case in Point. This is the maiden voyage for us, Jeff, here, Case in Point podcast. I'm Dave. This is obviously Jeff O'Brien here with us. Jeff, we're talking concussions, NFL concussion settlement today, and I know you brought in a heavy hitter, former NFL player, former quarterback, former Viking with us to help it out today.
I did, Dave. You know, you're always wary of your maiden voyage, your first show, and what you're going to do, and we've got a little help here. We've got my good friend Brooks Bollinger. Brooks, thanks for coming out here today. And Brooks has multiple hats, and it's going to be very relevant to our discussion here. Brooks has one day job as a financial advisor with Freedom Financial out in Woodbury, but he's also, of course, a retired NFL player and the head coach at Creighton Durham Hall. So Brooks gets to deal with this issue of concussions and dealing with the where we go from here. In the light of these settlements and in light of the new awareness of the links between playing football and having, head trauma. So, Brooks, hey, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I'm honored to be on the maiden voyage, and I've got to be honest, I'm feeling a little bit of pressure to carry this thing.
No, you shouldn't feel any pressure at all, actually. No,
I don't,
thanks
actually.
For coming around.
So we wanted to use as our first show, kind of talking about we're always looking for hot legal issues when in the world of sports for this show, and on April 18th, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals came out and affirmed this long discussed, long litigated NFL concussion litigation. There was a settlement that was entered some time ago. And there was the district court had said it wasn't adequate, and then it moved up to the Court of Appeals, and now they've said it's done, it's a done deal. Mm-hmm. So there's a pool of money that's available to help retired players that are suffering with issues such as dementia, memory loss, ALS, Alzheimer's, and of course chronic traumatic encephalopathy, the hot, CTE, the real hot topic that was, really brought to light in the Will Smith movie last December.
Yep.
With about the work of Dr. Bennett Amalu. And I had the chance to see Dr. Amalu when he was in town a few weeks ago, and we'll talk about that. But it's kind of, in my opinion, kind of closes the door on this, what did they know and when did they know it in terms of the past players and the NFL settlement. There are other, the players, some of the players were given the right as part of the settlement to opt out and bring their own actions. So there are a number of actions going, but for the most part, this is kind of the pool of money has been established as a fund that's available for some 65 years. And depending on what your ailment is and, you're entitled to so much money, you're going to have a chance if they, you have to prove it up what you're suffering from, and there's an appeals process for that. There's an education fund and these different pieces of it. But one of the reasons I wanted to start talking about this issue is I'm a huge football fan. Dave, you're a huge football fan. Brooks, you're obviously a huge football fan. You coach it, you played it. Where do we go from here? I mean, there's a lot of talk out there. There's some people that say, I'm not going to let my kids play football. I'm not, we shouldn't play tackle football anymore. I guess the question we start with is my profession going to turn the NFL into a flag football league?
Well, I mean, it's kind of funny. You mentioned, you know, being part of the settlement. I was actually, humble break, at the gym a couple months ago, whatever it was, sometime this winter, just on a treadmill on a Saturday morning, just minding my own business. And I look up at one of the seven TVs up there, and I see, you know, the one of those, you know, just nothing but text commercials on a Saturday morning. Were you a former NFL player? You know, call this number now, blah, 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 to be part of the NFL concussion settlement. Has it really come to this? I mean, we're kind of narrow casting. First of all, I was nowhere near an NFL player, so you're not talking to me. But, I mean, Brooks, you would know. I mean, have people come out to contact you? Did you have to go and contact people if you want to be a part of the settlement? How does that even work?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways and angles that it comes from, and certainly through emails and websites and stuff like that. I was made aware of it from multiple angles. But I think Jeff said it best, is this kind of starts – the next phase, right? It's acknowledge what's happened, show that we are as a game aware of this issue and some of the issues our players will face. And now let's kind of, we can't go back and change any of that stuff. We've kind of dealt with it. And now the question is, how does it look, you know, going forward, and how does it change?
That's exactly right, Brooks. I mean, you know, the crux of the lawsuit was the NFL, you know, this is largely, you're talking about players that, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, players that played, you know, back in, you know, in decades ago. And the argument is that the NFL knew of this link and did everything possible to cover it up. And so you have a fraud issue, you have a negligence issue. So now we know what the issue is. That piece is settled. That's why we now, and going forward, we're recording this here on the Thursday. That's going to be day one of the NFL draft, and anybody that's going to be selected tonight knows darn well that there is this risk that continuing to play football at the professional level, mm-hmm, can lead to some serious health issues, particularly mental health issues in later life. In the legal world, we call that assumption of the risk, right? There's never going to be another concussion litigation part two with all the modern players going forward. They know the risk, right? The question is now, what do we do at, I think, the high school level, at the Pop Warner level, at the college level, and more so, I think, up to the high school level, to allow kids to play, have the benefit of playing football. And Brooks, you can talk a little bit about the benefits of, from your perspective, of playing football. What do we need to do? And maybe you can put your coach hat on here. What happens? How is the game changed from when you played at the high school level to now you're coaching, in terms of how you treat some of these issues?
Well, I think it's changed a lot, and you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think the hard thing we all have right now is separating what happens in the NFL to what happens in the game of football at the youth or high school level. Those are two totally different discussions. Inevitably, in our the world today of the 24-hour news cycle and the amount of attention that this gets, it's very hard to draw that line. And I think that's caused a ton of anxiety in people, and not really being able to decipher what is this, you know, 15, 20, 10-year NFL player coming down with this stuff mean for my 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kid that wants to play the game of football. And that's where I think we got to start, is just by going, there's the NFL issue, and that's what they need to deal with. And that's professional sports. That's a different animal. What you see on Friday night in high schools across the country and what you see on Sunday afternoons on TV are two pretty different animals, okay? Yeah. And I think, you know, the other angle that I see it as is I'm a parent. Right. So, I mean, my dad is a coach. I've been around this game since I was knee high. But it definitely changes your perspective when, number one, I got freshmen coming into my program and you're fitting them for helmets and you're putting them out on the field. And you're kind of taking that and saying, hey, you want to play the game of football. This is good for you. And you know that there's risk involved. And now with my own sons and my kids, you look at them and you say, all right, we're making the decision to play football. In the NFL, you know the risks, you know, for yourself, and you make the decision.
Yeah.
Hard as a parent to make that for somebody else. So I think we've already seen that in the game a little bit. I think the numbers have dropped slightly within the youth and really kind of that freshman age. But I think Jeff said it is one of the things we do not talk about and doesn't come up because it doesn't sell, right? It doesn't sell in the news cycle, is the benefits of football. And I think for a lot of people that don't understand it or didn't play it, there is football is different. Okay, I'm a little biased, but it is the greatest team sport ever invented. And I think for a couple reasons right off the top is, especially in this day and age, you don't have to be on the A++ traveling team when you're 10 years old in football to make the varsity football team. You can show up as a sophomore, a junior, start playing as an eighth grader, and you're going to have a spot on that football team. Mm-hmm. You're going to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And you can't say that for most sports in America today. And I think that's of great value to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And with that said, football is the only sport I know of that's at least popular in America today where there's one ball and about half the people on the field know they're, by rule, not going to touch a football, right? Or they're almost never going to touch it, if nothing else.
Sure.
And their sole job is to sacrifice themselves and to play hard for their teammates.
Speaking as a guy who got to touch the football every play, right?
Yeah, I'm the spoiled one. And it's led to many issues for me and selfish and all that. But I think that that's where we get when we get caught up talking too much about the NFL is equal to high school and it's the same deal. There's millions and millions of people across the country, and we could line them up here, but we probably don't have time today, that never were stars, but they played high school football. They maybe even played college football, and it instilled values within them that no other sport really could and made a difference in shape and who they are. So I think that's a couple of things. And the last point I'll leave you with, Jeff, is if we, you know, where do you draw the line then? So, okay, we can't play football when you're 10 and we're going to ban it or whatever that becomes is, okay, then should we not play hockey? Should we not play lacrosse? Mm-hmm. Is soccer safe enough? Where are we drawing the line?
Yeah, you talk about head trauma. In soccer, you're bouncing a ball off your head that comes at you at a relatively high speed. I mean, there's every sort of contact sport. I do think, and I agree that you have to separate out the NFL from the other levels of football, because I think the NFL ends up becoming more of a target because everybody knows the NFL is a $2 billion business. It's because, you know, it certainly has eclipsed baseball, in my opinion, as the this country's national pastime. And, you know, how many millions of people around the world tune into the Super Bowl. Right. So I think that the NFL you see some of the stories in the news about, you know, some of the off-the-field exploits of some of the players. I think the NFL is an easy target when it comes to this discussion. But, I mean, even the, you know, to be fair, you know, the league had set up their mild traumatic brain injury committee back in the 90s, I think, and was essentially charged with trying to disprove any possible evidence that there was a causal link between playing football and brain trauma. And, you know, as a lawyer, I know how it means, you know, what our world, we don't like to admit any sort of culpability or liability. So, you know, you can see where they're probably given, you know, directions from the lawyers that, you know, this is the result you're going to get to, you know, mm-hmm. It wasn't exactly a, you know, a free and open process. But even now, there was the NFL executive just a month or so ago that acknowledged that there's no denying that there is a causal link. Now, of course, you had Jerry Jones and some of the other owners and other executives quickly step in and, you know, clarify his response.
The league office itself kind of said, hey, hold off on that.
But I don't think that it's a bad thing, in my opinion, for the NFL to admit that there is some causal link. Like Brooke said, when you reach that level, you are aware of the risk when you're playing. At this point, you are clearly aware of the risk. And if you go forward, you choose to assume that risk. But there, you know, and I think it's good to have at least that acknowledgement, because on the other side, you do have what I think is a very extreme position. Now, I mentioned I saw Dr. Bennett Amalu when he was in town, and he did a program, and he was on stage with the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Health. And the commissioner made a statement that, in his opinion, letting your children play tackle football amounted to child abuse. I mean, they are literally advocating for the end of youth football. And to me, that's a dangerous road to go down. So there has to be some softening of these two extreme positions into, okay, what is, you know, dealing with, we see someone already, we have protocols now for dealing with someone who does sustain a concussion or something or have a head hit in football. And okay, is, you know, we're now looking into links of other exacerbating factors. And also we're looking at treatments. I've heard Joe Namath interviewed saying he uses hyperbaric chamber, like deep sea divers do. Jim McMahon has a couple of chiropractors that do something with his neck. And he said it doesn't reverse the damage that was there because he was having the headaches and the dementia type symptoms. But he said, it stops it from progressing. So I don't know that there's any one particular treatment for it, but at least acknowledging that it the link is there can begin to figure out, okay, well, what is all entailed in this and how can we treat it? Because at the end of the day, that to me is the better counter to this whole thing than we're just going to stop playing football, you know?
Well, and the part of it from my side of the table is football is a lot bigger than the NFL. I mean, football, I believe, is an important part of the communities across this country. I think it's very important in the high school and college level. I think there's a ton of value in football that goes way beyond the business of the NFL. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with the NCAA, which is now a billion-dollar business in its own right. And that gets a little more hairier because you're talking about so many people. But I will say this, like when I played high school, compared to today is a totally different animal. We have the same concussion protocol, not as the NFL necessarily, but certainly as college, where the kids do the baseline impact testing to get a cognitive baseline of where they're at. And I think all sports do it now. There's concussion training. We're all very aware of it. In the last 5 years, the way we teach this game, the way we watch these kids and are safe to teach proper tackling and to make sure that we don't put them in harm's way when there's a chance that something has happened has totally, you know, has shifted a lot. Which to Jeff's point is, hey, we've acknowledged that we went a little far this way and this can be an issue. So let's deal with it. Let's address it and let's move forward and make the game better. As a result of that, I think the game is safer than it's ever been. We were talking about earlier about about the turn of the century when Teddy Roosevelt was president of the United States and there's a big push to outlaw football. Totally different game then, obviously not the attention it receives today, but I saw somewhere where I think that season 19 players died and there's like 100 and whatever.
Yeah, Harvard-Yale football games, when you're dealing with guys that were used to more of the rugby, that was back when there was much more of a rugby influence on the game. Harvard, believe it or not, Harvard-Yale football games could be bloody and sometimes deadly. And that was you know, the solution at that time was, you know, they invented the forward pass.
Yep.
So you started more of a passing game as opposed to a lot of, you know, so you minimize some of the, you know, the collisions that you were having on every play, where now at least it's not every play. It could, you know, someone, you could be throwing the ball and, I mean, it running for it or run out of bounds, whatever. But we've had these discussions before. And the other thing, too, is, you know, as part of, as we go forward and research this more as to what causes this, but also, are there certain individuals that are maybe genetically predisposed to have a more of a risk of an injury, of a brain injury, if they're playing football? You know, the NFL, if you're looking at that level, the NFL has gone through, issues of players abusing drugs, performance-enhancing drugs, also non-performance-enhancing drugs. Do any of those types of things, you know, exacerbate or increase the risk that you would have some issue with your brain? You know, you talk about CTE and the creation of the tau proteins is, and that's what kind of leads to some of these, the memory and the dementia issues. But are any of these other factors, do they play a part in making you more susceptible to this? And we don't know. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
We don't know right now. Just the acknowledging that the link exists is the starting point for doing further research to find out what other factors are at play. So, we lawyers always, we can always look for the gray area. There's never a black and a white. And I don't think in this issue, I don't think there is a black or a white. I don't think the position that's saying there's absolutely no causal link, move on with your day, and the other side is it's the deadliest game on earth and you shouldn't play it. I think somewhere in the middle, there's something there. It needs to be studied, and we need to be looking with an eye towards, like Brooke said, making the game safer. And I agree. I think it is safer than it ever has been with some of the rules in terms of the hits and the leading with the helmet and some of those things. And then also for the folks that inevitably do suffer from this, you know, what is the treatment?
Yeah, I was curious, Brooks, about, you know, you talk about being a high school coach. I coach high school baseball, so I've done the concussion test too. It's not nearly, you know, as much of a worry in baseball as it is in football, sure. But are numbers down over just the last couple of years, do you know, compared to what they were? Because I feel like the news has really picked it up over the last couple of years, and obviously with the movie coming out in December. Do you see an impact in numbers, and do you see moms, dads coming up to you, you know, or other coaches at, you know, preseason meetings or whatever saying, hey, we're concerned about this. What are you doing to teach proper technique and proper tackling?
Yeah, I think it's become a part of what we do. It's certainly, you know, I'm kind of new back at Creighton, right? So I don't have a huge sample size over the last handful of years. But I know there's been people that have come up to me and expressed concern. People, you know, my kid's parent or my son's friend's parents.
Okay.
Sorry, I had trouble piecing that one together. My son's friend's parents, you know, have come up and kind of pulled me aside and said, oh, we don't know what to do, you know, because I think there's so much pressure on parents now to make the right decision with your kids as far as, do we put them on the baseball path, mm-hmm. or do we put them on the hockey path, or what if we miss the train for volleyball, or, you know, so they kind of grabbed me with regards to football and concussions, and you can sense it. I know just, you know, when I was at Pitt and recruiting across the country, that that was a couple years ago, there's already, you know, talk of freshman numbers being down, and I think it depends a little bit on the demographics and where you are in the country, but I think there's certainly no argument that the youth and lower levels of high school, the numbers are down nationwide. Okay. And you can see why when you open the paper every day and yeah. you see this kind of stuff, that it's people are concerned. And I think to Jeff's point, it's, you know, you're just hoping it levels out, right? And the truth kind of settles somewhere in the middle, and we can move forward with people feeling a little more confident. But, you know, my biggest thing is, like I said earlier, where do you draw the line? You know, where does the line get drawn then? What's safe enough? Can they ride their bikes? Do we have to just run around behind them when they're riding their bikes? Can they, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't wear helmets, obviously.
Yeah,
but
me either. That's still.
But you'd go leave and you'd come back in 5 hours and your parents say, how was your day? You know, now we can't let them go to the end of the street, or somebody will call CNN have a big national story about it.
Grab a quick lunch and then head back out for another 8 hours.
I don't know. That I think that's my bigger concern, is what are we raising? And that goes back to the cost benefit analysis of anything you do with your kids. What is your ultimate goal? What are you trying to instill within your kids? And that's where I think, you know, that's a whole nother show, a whole nother topic. But
well, and the interesting thing too, and I have some clients that, of course, were retired, like Brooks, were retired NFL players, and you know, like Joe Capp is one of my clients. Now, Joe, of course, just around the time of the Super Bowl, disclosed publicly that he has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And Joe did an interview shortly after that, and someone asked him, would you do it again? Would you not play football, knowing, you know, given what you're going through? And he said, no, that would negate the life. And you ask these guys that have suffered through, and it's not just, you know, with football, it is a game that it does take a physical toll. You know, it's not just, you know, we're talking here today about concussions and head trauma, but, you know, I've got clients that have, you know, artificial hips, artificial knees, you know, someone that, you know, oh, 1 year I broke my right foot, next year I broke my left foot. So, but you ask all of them and they said, I wouldn't, if I had a chance to do it again, I would do it again. So there is something there. And, you know, in the football and the NFL too. I mean, there are, let's be honest, there are a lot of guys that have maybe come from not so great circumstances, and the NFL provided, you know, a platform of opportunity that they parlayed into something else and changed. It did change their life. So besides what the benefits of playing a team sport like football, like Brooks was talking about, there's no denying that there are a lot of individuals in this that have gone through the NFL that would not have had as positive of an experience in life, but for becoming a professional football player. And so there are benefits too. I mean, yes, there have been bad things about the way that this issue has been handled, but there's a lot of good that has come out of people being able to play professional football in mm-hmm. this country.
And you mentioned the Traumatic Brain Injury Committee. It was formed back in 1994.
Yes.
So 22 years ago.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, was that anything that you guys were concerned about in the locker room when you were playing? Were you talking about it? Did it ever occur to you that, hey, this could be bad?
Yeah, it certainly occurred to me. I would say just intuitively, I kind of figured I actually had a few in college. Mm-hmm. And so I had a little history with it and had kind of evaluated it. I don't know that I knew to the extent that this would come out or whatever. But I mean, it kind of makes sense, right? I mean, when that happens enough times mm-hmm. and that it's not a positive, right? It's not helping you. So I think I put two and two together. But you know, I'm kind of in that camp. Again, I think it's, I don't worry about the NFL guys now going forward. Here's the information. Yeah. You've seen some guys in the last few years that have stepped away from the game.
Yeah.
And again, everybody's different. Maybe, you know, they have a degree in something that they're really passionate about doing, and they're pretty well off financially, and they kind of want to, they got some kids, and they want to head down this path of life. I totally understand that. I mean, it's hard for people to realize that at some point it is a job. Now, it's probably the greatest job in the world, but some guys don't feel that way, and they don't want to take on the risks because they don't feel they need the money or whatever else as much. Now, other guys, they're upset. You know, they can't live without the game. They need the money. They're going to play no matter what happens. But I think the biggest thing is that has nothing to do with a 15-year-old deciding to play football or a 12-year-old deciding to play football. Your, you know, value equation, benefits over cost at home with your kids, that is not a part of the discussion. That guy that's been playing for 15 years, 20 years, he is not the same as your son. And you have to evaluate it differently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. I think that just about does it, fellas.
Excellent. Well, I think for a maiden show, I think that was a pretty good topic, and I enjoyed the discussion. It was
good.
Thanks, Brooks, for coming in here, helping out.
Thanks. All it was right. fun.
Yeah, thanks, Brooks. Thanks, Jeff, for being here. We'll do it again. Case in Point podcast. You can find us, of course, 1500ESPN.com, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes.